Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique, Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/unique.htm, and that's Y-O-U-Nique. And now here's your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you so much, Corey, and thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique Life Starring You. It's all about you and for you, and we are what we are because of you. So we certainly are grateful to have you here with us. We have a little project we do here at Unique called Pray It Forward, and basically it's very simple if you'd like to join in. There's a lot of disconcerting things in the media and kind of bombarded with every day, and we ask that when you see those things, you just say a little prayer, send a little loving energy. Studies actually show that the positive energy, the loving energy, the prayers actually shift situations and can make a difference. So we appreciate you participating in with that. We have an extra special guest here that's one of our favorites on Unique. His name is Howard Falco. I'll share with you a little bit about Howard, and then we'll bring him in. Howard is a spiritual teacher and speaker specializing in the power of the mind as it relates to the creation of the experience of life and breaking through personal limitations. He is the author of the new book on human understanding and potential titled I Am, The Power of Discovering Who You Really Are. After asking some of life's big questions in 2002, in the middle of an ordinary life, Howard, a married father of two, went through a dramatic shift in consciousness that revealed the answers to these questions and more about life than he ever imagined knowing. Stunned and inspired by this powerful knowledge, Howard set out to honor what happened by sharing what he learned. I Am is the result of this effort. I Am discusses the groundbreaking insight into the connection of energy and personal creation, and the book explains the very essence of the way we each shape our lives by our perception and reaction to the world. This awareness helps to take the process of creating our lives from a more subconscious level to more of a conscious level as we learn to deliberately create our reality. Howard and his book are gaining all sorts of momentum. He was recently interviewed by Deepak Chopra, and we certainly are grateful to have him here with us. Please check his website at howardfalco.com and the book iam.com. Please welcome to the show, Howard Falco.
Hi, Susan. It is great to be here again.
We just are so delighted to have you.
Yeah, thank you. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, it definitely goes both ways. Howard, you have such a positive energy and just such a peaceful spirit and bring such wonderful, helpful, transformative information with you. So thank you for sharing your knowledge and your light with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and it's really, really nice of you to say it.
Howard, we're going to talk about the book in a little bit. For anyone who may just be meeting you for the first time, please share with us a little bit about your journey. Some people sort of, 5 years old are sort of pondering in their room, what's the meaning of life? And that has not necessarily been your path, correct?
Right, you mean to be to be pondering that question?
Yes, very esoteric and sort of philosophical from a young age. This is
right, from a young
rather
age.
Rather new.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not something I pondered from a young age, but I did have an experience at 14 that did shift my thinking a little bit to ask some bigger questions. So there was something that stirred in me younger the first time that I really had the opportunity to look at the star-filled sky for the first time, and looking upon that incredible, unbelievable piece of art that is the stars in the sky, which I think many listeners have seen at one time or another. And if you haven't been to a remote area away from the city lights on a moonless night that's clear to be able to look at that, I strongly, strongly urge anybody to go and take a look at that piece of art, because it is as beautiful or more beautiful than you'll find in any museum anywhere in the world. But when I saw that, when I looked upon that as a 14-year-old, and saw the Milky Way stretch across the sky, a lot of questions were born about just the general nature of life itself. Some bigger questions entered my mind, and I kind of left it alone after that and went back into my life. So it wasn't really something that I urgently sought after from that age on, but it was something in the back of my mind that always kept me wondering more about the bigger questions in life. And it wasn't really until 35 when I really asked some of the bigger questions. And that came about, as I've expressed on the show before, from a need to understand our purpose here and what we were doing and why we were here and why there seemed to be injustice in the world from the way I was looking at it, and why some people seem to have good fortune and others not, and sort of reconcile what didn't look, for lack of a better word, right in the world. And those questions reached a crescendo when I realized that even with all the things that I had in my life at the time, that it really wasn't doing it for me. It wasn't bringing me that peace. So there must be something else. And I went through all the natural things that were taught or learned through pop culture to go through, such as relationships or job, or the last thing for me was money. Thought it was money. And when those excuses or reasons didn't work anymore, I was left with an abyss of not knowing, which was very scary, because I'd come to a point where I realized money wasn't the answer, and that it wasn't going to give you the breath in your lungs. It wasn't going to give you the relationships that you had, the true meaningful relationships in your life. Wasn't going to come as a result of money. And many other things that were graced upon each and every day in this world, money's got nothing to do with it. And, you know, all you have to do is talk to any extremely wealthy person who's miserable to understand that. So that left me with the abyss of not knowing. And that not knowing created an incredible yearning to know at any cost. That yearning is what brought the information to me. And it was my readiness to experience the information that allowed me to see it, which occurred in two peak experiences. The first one sort of allowed me to understand that the happiness I was searching for on the outside was really on the inside. And with that, I also connected the fact that I'd asked these questions. The universe responded with answers. I was astonished that that's what our reality is for. That's the whole purpose of it. Started firing off a whole bunch more questions upon that realization, and then had a second experience 4 months later, which brought the complete encyclopedia of information that took me 2 years to kind of get my head around and believe that it really did happen, and then the will or the courage to go and write about it. So that's the short story, if you will, obviously an important one for people to understand where the information in the book came from.
Absolutely. And a couple things, Howard. Thank you, first of all, so much for sharing your story with us. I think that, pardon me, one of the things that's so inspiring is that sometimes you talk to people and these stories come out of a place of they were, as they say, down and out and just couldn't make sense of what was going on. And that it's especially inspiring, I think, that yours came out of a place of that everything sort of was working to a certain extent,
right,
in your life, where you were happy and, you know, career, family, relationship,
right,
financially, everything was okay. And that to be seeking for those answers, for a lot of people, it takes the bottom sort of falling out, as they say, to say, oh my gosh, what do I need to do differently?
No, that's a really good point, Susan, a really good point. And what's interesting about it is, and no disrespect to anybody that's gone through any pain and suffering of any event that's ever happened, but it's almost more intolerable to have the things you think you're supposed to have and not have the happiness, because on the other end of the spectrum, at least you have an excuse.
Exactly. That's an excellent point, Howard. That's an excellent point. That it's, and I think going into what you were saying too about speaking to people who seemingly have everything and they're just miserable, that a lot of people look at that and say, well, how is that possible? And I think that sometimes it can be even more sort of frustrating or upsetting on the other end, where according to social definition, that a person has everything that's supposed to equal happiness, and when it doesn't, That exactly what you're saying, where it's like, well, wait a second, everything in my life is working according to the social context of working. Why do I feel this void? Why am I still searching?
So right, that makes exactly. A lot of sense. That's exactly right. And the whole point of that is that if I can show by having everything that that's not it to people that are struggling with certain things, it will take this idea that I need that away, that I need that to be happy. No, that's not what it is. So even if you use all your resources and your energy and sacrifice yourself to get it, it's going to be short-lived because there's something deeper, something more profound that is it. But it's not what you're killing yourself over or believe that you need. And ironically, once you realize that, it takes the need away, which actually brings you what you want because it's the need that was keeping it away in the first place.
Right, exactly. So, it's that idea of what we focus on grows. And so if we're focusing on the lack of or what's missing, then all that it does is bring more of the lack of and what's missing. And
right, if we're really truly believe that that's what we need to be happy, then life is going to show us that it's not what we need by not delivering it to us.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. For anyone who may just be joining us, we're here with the wonderful Howard Falco. Please visit Howard's website at www.howardfalco.com. Also visit thebookiam.com. Howard, one of the things that you were just speaking about was the idea of excuses, of when we're down and out, and we make excuses sometimes that, oh, if I only had the relationship, if I only had the money, if I only had the career, that sort of thing. Let's talk a little bit about how excuses relate to I am and how people can use the power of I am to step into a place of really being honest with themselves in a way that's empowering versus using it to sort of beat themselves into submission or keeping them where they are.
Right. Well, if you believe that you need something in order to complete who you are, there's an I am statement that says that the real truth is behind that, that I'm not good enough as I am. And if that is a truth, that you're not good enough as you are, the way that life works is it takes what we believe to be true. Our ego is designed to take what we believe to be true and to make it real. In other words, to gather the information out in the world of content, to gather it up, the people, the places, and the events, so that we can experience that truth. So if it's, I'm not good enough unless I have a man or a woman in my life, then that's what we're going to experience. On top of that, we're going to drag in, or we're going to be so anxious to get it out of fear that we're going to pull in a mismatch. We're not going to take the time to really find the right person to make it work because the truth is operating out of I'm not good enough anyways. So even if we do pull somebody in, it's going to be a temporary situation because the ultimate truth has to be realized, which is I'm not good enough. If it changes, if you come through self-awareness and reflection to really see your undeniable perfection through all the lies, you come to a better sense of self-acceptance and self-love, different I am, different truths are born upon that. And because of that, your ego will make sure that it honors that those beautiful thoughts. And it will find people, places, and events to bring in to honor those true feelings that you have about yourself. And then you really begin to manifest something that is in harmony with what you truly desire, the good you truly desire, because you finally believe that it's who you are. Does that make sense?
That absolutely makes sense, Howard, and I think that that's such an important thing. I think that deep down, the reasons that, especially in today's world, there's a lot of suffering, there's been a lot of changes in recent years, a lot of people are saying, what has happened to me? What has happened to my life? What is going on? Self-development literature and spirituality and religion and that sort of thing has seen a definite interest in recent years, because I think people are searching for answers. And what advice would you give our listeners, Howard? I think there's a lot of people who are sort of beating themselves up of, why didn't I see the changes in the economy coming, or why didn't I make different decisions, or feeling badly about where their lives are now because it's a place they did not expect to be. What advice would you give them about getting to that place of self-acceptance, of the perfection of who they are?
Well, you can't get there by living in an illusion, and living in the past is living in an illusion, because the past is not now. The past does not exist anymore. So clinging to it puts you in the most uncreative state possible. The land of woulda, coulda, shoulda is the land of time, and it sticks you in this place of eternity where you're stuck in this, if I use the word purgatory, but it's sort of like this completely uncreative, delusional state. Because the only truth is what you did, and it was perfect for then. Not perfect in terms of the optimum output, but perfect in terms for the capacity of your knowledge to make that decision at that time. Because the truth is, if you could have done better, you would have. So that's the only truth, is what happened. So coulda, woulda, shoulda is a complete and utter waste of time, other than to reflect upon the experience as it relates to what kind of a choice you want to make now. That's it. But to think that you should have or could have or would have done different, you're sticking yourself in an uncreative land of time, and it is an uncreative space. So the advice I would get is to come to acceptance, full and total acceptance with who you were, without any shame, any guilt, any regret, but just an understanding that who you were is not who you are. However, this is the only moment you ever have.
Right.
What do you intend to create for yourself? What do you want to manifest? What do you want to see come into fruition? There's a process to that. There's a nurturing that needs to take place. There's an energy that needs to go out to cultivate, and that starts right now. So your greatest power, as I say many times in the book, is to choose who you are in this very moment, who you intend to be, and then to demonstrate that. And the minute you start to do that is the minute you start to cultivate and nurture a different reality into being. So immediately upon the declaration of a new you, upon the belief in a new you, and upon the action of a new you, new energy is going out to the world. Energy you can see by the way you interact with people, and energy you can't even imagine has already been coming out of you upon that new truth being accepted. And traveling at light speed around the world. So all of a sudden you are like a magnet that is tuned to a different frequency that is beginning to draw in new conditions. Again, you may not see these conditions being developed. Some of them you may, some of you may not. And that's where the ultimate idea of faith comes in, to understand how anything has come into being. It is a state of nurturing, conditioning, and ultimately faith in the process. So if you continue to believe in that and continue to put that out and stay in tune with the truth of what's going on in your world as it relates to what you desire, and keep showing a will and a conviction, that's when the magic really happens. So that's what I would say to someone who has been stuck in what they could have, would have, should have done, and what will help them to get to where they want to go.
I think that's a very excellent description and sort of step-by-step of how to take that first step, because I think what happens, and I've heard people talk about this, Howard, too, is it's that they look at where their life was 5 years ago, and I think the tendency for human beings, for whatever reason, is to romanticize the past without fully remembering all the details and saying, oh, it was so great, and all that sort of thing. And if you take people in a spaceship back to that time, you'll find that while they may not have had the same stress, it was different stress, that something was upsetting them or whatever. And there's that tendency, I think, sometimes when we look backwards to forget that.
Yeah, and I see this a lot. I do some private work with people, and I see it a lot in relationships where people, when they're out of them, all they can remember, all they focus on is the good times. They didn't focus on the 95% of the absolute chaos that occurred that drove them away. And that's designed by the mind that is so fearful of moving forward and not believing that anybody's going to love them the way that they did, which is a complete lie. We tend to, in relationships, latch on to the fact that that's the only one that ever knew me that will ever love me. That nothing could be farther from the truth. There are thousands, millions that will, once you come to love yourself and express that, because that's who each one of us are. So it is interesting how the mind likes to twist things. The ego actually likes to twist things to keep us where we were.
Right, absolutely. We're going to talk about that in just a second. For anyone who's tuning in, we're here with Howard Falco, author of I Am. Please visit thebookiam.com and howardfalco.com for more information. Howard, you raised such an excellent point about this idea of the ego twisting things. And one of the things, there's a lot of information in self-improvement about the story. What story are we committed to telling? Because that ultimately, and you talk about this in I Am, about the story that we're telling, basically programs our ego to go into the world and get results that support, to get information to support that. That if we don't feel worthy, then the ego, like a little messenger, runs out into the world like, oh, okay, here's all this information to confirm that belief is true. What would you say, Howard, is the reason that people are so sort of married to their stories, even when it's creating unbelievable suffering for them to hold on to beliefs that, number one, do not serve them, and number two, are not true?
It's an excellent question, because it goes to the heart of why people stay in abusive, addictive situations or uncreative worlds. And the answer is because the needle has not crossed the threshold of intolerance yet between, from a point of where it's tolerable to be in this suffering to the point of where it's intolerable. When it becomes intolerable, that's it. They won't make the choice anymore. They'll make a new one. Something will change. But our tolerance, for many people, the tolerance is excruciating. And it doesn't have to be that way. But the reason behind that is because the fear of the unknown outweighs the known. Even if the known is filled with suffering, at least the mind says, I have survived. I have survived in an abused relationship. I have survived being miserable at my job. I have survived as an alcoholic for so many years. I've made it, even though it's created X, Y, and Z type of chaos in my life or disharmony. At least I've survived. That's what the mind says. I don't know if I can survive not drinking or, going for this different job or attempting to do this in my life, or being this type of a person. The mind doesn't know, so what happens is it fills that space with the worst possible fear, which is another huge lie, because what the truth is always infinite possibility. That's the truth. But when fear is involved, it takes the worst case scenario, projects it, and then all activities stop, and we stay stuck. Now, when you realize two things, one, that you are worthy of any one of those infinite possibilities, especially the most beautiful and rewarding ones, it can kick the will into gear to take that step because you believe in who you are and because the ego is going to help you to validate that. So that's a big part of it. And then two is when you really understand the nature of how life unfolds, it's as if your will and your faith just explode, because then you realize that the whole point of all this journey is for you to creatively express yourself And the universe is here as a partner in the process. But it can only help you as much as you help your own self, or as much as you believe in your own self. That's the match. That's the perfection. So the process is about learning how powerful you are. That's why the book is titled The Power of Discovering Who You Really Are. Learning how powerful you are, how perfect you are, how beautiful you are, and how capable you are of going out and creating that. But once you learn that, once you realize that, it makes it a lot easier. But in the meantime, up until now, it's been about surviving.
And that's an excellent point, Howard. There's a humongous, it's interesting because the shift, I think, is minuscule to go from surviving to thriving in terms of the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
However, the results are dramatically different.
It's very well said, the difference between surviving and thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gap, the bridge is awareness.
Oh, and I love that. There's so many gems in what you just said, Howard. And one of the things that came to mind, and maybe this is something you can offer light to, when you say you go to the park and you watch children playing, for the most part, children are pretty courageous, and they just want to go out and experience everything that there is in the world. And a lot of being adults and parents are saying, well, be careful and watch out for this and all that sort of thing. And it seems like at some point during life, as adults especially, that it's almost like a breath of fresh air when we meet an adult that has that same sort of courageous spirit, because it seems like somewhere along the line, coming into adulthood, a lot of people shift from a place of courage into fear, from a place of love into fear. What are your thoughts on when and why that happens, and something that we can do to sort of continue to cultivate that same spirit that we had when we were six and we were waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we couldn't wait to start the day sort of energy?
Right. Well, a lot of times our conditioning plays a role at a subconscious level in us that we don't even realize. It's a combination of really two things. We do get our genetics, a lot of our ideas of limitation, our mental ideas of limitation from our parents and from how they learned to survive. I think that's as pronounced in our psyches as the color of our hair or, you know, the shapes of our bodies or other things that we get genetically. So we are, in a sense, working out of, you know, the capacity of our parents in their securities or insecurities and how they survived in life at the time of conception when they had us. So that's part of it. And then the nurturing can embed those or allow those to emerge in a more powerful way in our lives, in a more pronounced way in our lives. So that's what can get into our head, which causes us as life goes on to get more cautious, more fearful about life itself, because again, we're living and we're looking to validate and realize those truths that we held. So I think as we get older, the way to break out of that is to ask the bigger questions, put yourself in front of information that the world is trying to show us day in and day out of what is truly possible for each one of us, especially, most importantly, you, and realize through your suffering that what you are being shown is that you have a false belief about who you are. All suffering comes from a lie.
Wow.
Because the truth, at the very core, is all possibility. So any limitation on that is, in essence, a lie. Now, I am not saying that there aren't practicalities about the way life has unfolded, economics, situation, the way the different systems work in the world that we live in that we have to learn to integrate with. But if there is anybody in this world, or especially in your universe that you see, in your country, in your town, in your world, that has produced what you want, then it's possible.
Right. And there's a there's a term too that's escaping me at the moment, Howard, and they talk about it relative to the gentleman who ran the 6-minute mile or anything that's been created that they said it couldn't be done sort of thing. And then once it was done, that human consciousness sort of shifts on a level that then that becomes the new accepted...
Exactly. It becomes that's inspiration.
The accepted truth. Right.
Right. Power
absolutely.
Of inspiration. Yeah.
And so isn't that interesting that as human beings, on some level, it seems we have a little bit of a difficult time accepting something is true. And then once someone does it, and oh, okay, then all of a sudden it's like, well, why wouldn't that be a possibility? And going back to what you're saying, when in reality, everything is possible.
Right. Now, there are higher probabilities of certain things happening. There's different roads, different mountains to climb to get there. You have to be honest with yourself about what the road is to what you want. But if you're in tune with it, and if you believe in yourself, then you will, you know, make it happen. It's happened for millions and millions of people. And the reason we fight sometimes this truth that it's possible is because we're actually fighting to realize the opposite of that, because that's what we held as real, and that's what we believe is true, that it can't happen. So the ego has to fight for the can't happen to be real, because that, again, our thoughts must become validated in our world. That's how we know we're alive. So really, in fighting for it not to be true, we're fighting for our own existence, because our existence is made up of what we believe to be true, until our idea of what's true changes. Then the ego will fight for the opposite to become realized. And not even fight, it'll just go out there in a flow and make it happen. Or it will fight when people try and say something counter, like it can't happen. They'll say, no, not only can it happen, it will happen. And I'm going to prove it to you, because I'm going to be in tune with the truth of what it takes, and I'm going to keep going.
And that's such an excellent point, especially when there's this idea of, a spiritual level, when you talk about faith, is this, you know, this belief in it, belief first and then seeing. And essentially, some people think that's a strange concept, when in reality we're doing that all the time, going into what you were saying about the ego and the beliefs that we hold. What's something people can do, Howard, to connect to the subconscious beliefs that may be driving their reality? Some people are saying, oh, I really desire this change, and whether it's financial affluence or career success or relationship success, and they read all these books and they do all these things, and the same results keep showing up, and they're just angry and frustrated and say, okay, I want to shift from surviving to thriving. How do they tap into those subconscious beliefs to become aware of them?
Well, it's very simple. The only truth about who you are is evident in the current set of your circumstances right now. It's always on display. You want to see the result of what you have believed to be true your entire life? Look at the entire past up to this very moment.
I can see. So
that's a summation.
Okay.
Okay.
And I feel like people are going, okay, great. For some people, the truth of that is going to sting a lot.
That's right. But that's the idea of this path. That's exactly right. It is going to sting just for some people. And that's the reason they've been stuck, because they didn't want to feel the sting. But it's not, it's a sting. It's really their liberation. But you cannot get anywhere until you acknowledge how you've gotten there first. You can't get anywhere with any lasting success without being willing to look at how you got to where you're at. And if you're unwilling to look at it, you're going to stay in an illusion about where you're at. And then you're going to build another illusion on top of that that's going to eventually be dismantled by the truth and come down. You have to start from truth. It's the only way to build a solid foundation for what you want. And you say it stings. It only stings when you look on it from a sense of shame, guilt, regret, woulda, coulda, shoulda, all the BS stuff that goes through your mind.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask you to share, because for some reason, just energetically, I can feel people saying, okay, I'm looking at my circumstances, and I'm not happy with this. This is not the life I intended for myself. And they shift from a place of, and maybe this is something you can offer some light to as well, Howard, it seems like sometimes we'll shift to a place of self-judgment because it feels it's an illusion of empowerment, that it feels like we're doing something when we're actually not. That, you know, it's like, well, if I give myself a hard time about this, maybe it will motivate me to make a different choice or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's another excuse of the mind.
Right.
That's an old way of manipulating people to try and make them feel bad, to get them angry. It may have worked in the past, but where we're at today in the age of our sensitivity and our understanding of the nature of who we are, that's not really what greases the wheel or provides the jet fuel. What provides the jet fuel is an understanding more from a place of love, from a place of acceptance, not for what we want tomorrow, but the acceptance of what has created, what has put the conditions together in our life. So if somebody's getting angry with what they've created, it's a misunderstanding. You're saying, I can't believe I did that. Again, it's an illusion. I should have known better, or why did I do that? Mm. It's not about that. It's about understanding that you had the power to create this. Now that you understand it, that it's in your hands to create it, what can you do now with this understanding? That's what should be exciting. It's like, holy cow, I created this? Holy cow, I created this? That means I can create something opposite to this with a different set of ideas about myself and a different energy going out. Finally, thank you, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my whole road of suffering that's led me here, because it took this for me to get myself in front of this information, because I wouldn't be in front of it if I didn't have this road. I wouldn't be asking these questions, and I wouldn't be getting the information.
I love that. That's fantastic. For anyone who's just joining us, we're here with Howard Falco. Please visit Howard's website at www.howardfalco.com and the book IAM.com as well. Some great information at both those sites. Howard, it's always such a joy to have you with us. And some things, I've been interested a lot lately in people who have had, I don't really like to call them near-death experiences, maybe sort of awakening experiences, where there's some people who talk about having left their bodies and come back and that sort of thing, and the one thing that they come back with is just this utter sense of peace, that all the things that we stress out about here just are so trivial in the big picture, and that's something that you really do a great job of conveying, of bringing that wisdom to people. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about helping people step into a place of moving forward instead of pulling back. I think that what happens is when people get scared or they get hurt or that sort of thing, there's a tendency, and it's human instinct to a certain extent, of this idea of protecting ourselves. However, talking about everything you're talking about, that a lot of the fear that we have is self-created, self-perpetuated, and how do we really step out of that and step into a place of moving forward? Because I think a lot of the shoulds, a lot of the suffering, all that, it comes from a place of pulling back instead of moving forward.
Well, the very core of it, and I'm glad you mentioned it, the very core of it is the fear of personal annihilation, death. Because if there was no fear of death, there wouldn't be a fear of running out of time. If there was no fear of running out of time, then you would know that all you can do is create. And if you knew all you could do is create and that you couldn't die from anything that you tried, there would be no fear in trying anything in order to create what you want, realizing that you know, it would just be a process of learning and then recreating, learning and recreating. One of the beautiful things about people who come back from near-death experiences and what they bring back is they offer people what has been offered through the beginning of time from the great prophets, philosophers, and other people that have come to a greater understanding about the nature of life. And I often offer this, that it is not death that you are ultimately destined to. It is the everlasting creative experience of life in all its different forms and shapes. So it's not a question of if you're going to survive, but it becomes a question of how you're going to choose to survive in any moment. And I think that upon this learning that that you're stuck in life, that's who you are, that's what you're here for, is to create endlessly, to be a part of the expression of infinity in all its different creative shapes and forms, life does take on a much more of a relaxing, soulful, you become an old soul, and you become peaceful, and you become powerful in your choices and your decisions. You become very giving and very loving to the world, and less I-oriented and more we-oriented. because you realize the connectivity of it all, the purpose of it all, and it becomes a beautiful process of personal creation that is in harmony with everything else. But it comes from a greater awareness and understanding, and this is where it can get a big bit esoteric, but that nothing, you know, this has been said by some of the great scientists like Einstein, that nothing is created or destroyed. It simply transforms. Our energy isn't created or destroyed, and since what we are fundamentally, as everything else is energy, then it's everlasting. But the shape and the form will change over time, and we have a limited, finite nature to our bodies, but then it comes down to the question, are we really, truly our bodies? Where are our thoughts located, right? So really what we are is, the word that is probably best is a consciousness, an observer, and this is the form in which we are observing and creating it. And so if you can reflect on that a bit, and experience that, and listen to what everybody who has had a near-death experience has offered, very similar all across the world, and what has been written about for ages, it becomes very comforting. And you begin to trust the process of life more, and you begin to tap into more of your power to create because of it.
Absolutely. And you stated that so beautifully, Howard. In thinking about it too, that anyone that I've ever heard talk about it, I don't know that there's one person that's come back from that sort of experience and said, oh, it's horrible, you don't want to go. They've all sort of said, no, really, I wasn't even sure I wanted to come back. It was great. It was fantastic. You know, whatever sort of variety
right.
there was of that. And so it's interesting that that in this lifetime, we create, listening to you talk, I just am thinking about how much of our lives tend to be dominated by fear. And to sort of step into the place of what you're talking about of, like, once we can get into a space of allowing that to dissipate and getting into a very sort of creative position that we're designed for, that's our natural state of being, that's a lot, I think, sometimes. It's like, I think it was Marianne Williamson said that you know, it's that we're afraid of, is sort of that our power as creative beings. And so I'd love to have you talk a little bit about that, Howard, about how if people do, once they start to assimilate this information and integrate it and start to recognize, oh, wow, that really, I have the power to create anything, I think it freaks people out a little bit. Any advice to help people sort of settle into that from a more peaceful space?
What freaks you out more, living the current situation you're in for the rest of your life or realizing you have the power to create it differently? I mean, you know, it just comes down to a real simple question. If you're happy with your current situation, then you don't have to be afraid about adopting. You don't even have to adopt this information. But most people whose ears are, whose ears is falling upon, have asked these questions. How can I change X, Y, or Z? Or how can I learn to live more peacefully or happily? And the universe is responding right now, because that's how much you're loved. And that's what the universe is for, to help you. And it's in this shape and form between me and you in this conversation right now. But the point is, it's coming in. But you always have a choice. You don't have to listen to any of this information at all. You can go back to the exact way you were and deny it all. Or you can take a piece of it. Or you can really embrace all of it. But what will help in embracing all of it to be the most powerful is to realize that that's who you are, ultimately, and that's when you're your most tapped in. So to be afraid of it is an indication that the ego is trying to find a way to deny this information so it can hold on to the truth that you've had up until this point. So it says, be afraid of that power because of X, Y, or Z, which are three out of an infinite number of possibilities, because that's what will happen. Well, that's not true. Anything's possible.
Right, absolutely.
So the ego's trying to just grab you by the shirt collar and go, whoa, we're not ready to give up these truths yet. I know you ask these questions and you're confronted by this information, but don't listen to this guy. You know?
Exactly.
Stay right here.
Exactly. I love that. Howard, one of the things that came to mind while you were speaking tonight is, it's interesting, there's studies out that says that when we hear something actually in our own voice, it's one of the most powerful things that activates our mind, and one of the things going into the power of I Am in terms of what we tell ourselves ultimately becomes the results that we see. Why is it that as human beings, for many people, that external validation or validation from others, and I'm sure this taps into the idea of self-worth, determines people's validation, meaning they go outside themselves for this sense of, am I worthy, am I loved, am I capable, am I beautiful? And so when you start talking about tapping into it on the inside as a divine truth and that sort of thing, that it becomes difficult, I think, sometimes for people to process. And so they start going out into the world looking for evidence of that versus being able to cultivate that inside.
Right.
What advice would you offer to help people start to cultivate that inside and really, really get it?
The more you're looking for evidence from the outside world that what you believe is true, the less you believe it's true.
Oh, that's so beautifully profound and so true.
So it just gives you a benchmark of where you are in adopting that truth. When you adopt it as true, you will not need one single person's validation for it ever again. And you will claim that as your reality forever. Now, the validation can help in the process. And remember, mind seeks to be realized in matter. Thoughts need to become things or confirmed. So when we're in the process of confirming the truth, our ego needs the recognition of it. When you know it to be true, your ego will not need to do any work for you whatsoever. So it's like someone, if someone came up to me on the street and said, you don't love your kids, okay? I wouldn't even, like, give it, you know, the light of day.
That's very powerful.
But let me take a different example now. But, you know, I like to, let's say, I like to dress nice, you know, nothing crazy, but I like to, you know, always look nice when I dress.
Okay.
So if someone said, oh my God, what you're wearing is awful, my ego might engage there a little bit. It might say, who made you an authority, you know, on what looks good or what's wrong with this? I think it looks, you know, there might be some defense because part of the experience of looking nice is not just my own validation. It's part of also getting that feedback. So two different maybe examples, and I'll try and think of a third here that maybe makes sense. But, okay, the fact that I am a good person and worthy and lovable, okay, I really feel that to my core. So anyone that tells me that's counter to that, I will understand. First I'll check myself and say, have I done anything that they might misconstrue in a way that wasn't aligned with what that truth? But once I realize that, no, then I'll realize that this isn't about me. It's about them. And they will not knock me off my rock of peace because I know who I am as it relates to that. So those are three maybe different examples, but all related to how what we believe to be true either needs to be validated or doesn't.
And I think that those are really wonderful examples, Howard, and I appreciate you sort of quantifying that way to give people a context. It's kind of, for whatever reason, the statement, check yourself before you wreck yourself, sort of comes to mind in terms of what are we making things mean? Because going back to what you were saying about the ego, I thought that what you said was really profound about this idea that when it's something that's false, our ego sort of is very busy attempting to sort of gather all sorts of evidence to prove in some respect that it's true. Whereas where it really is ultimately the truth, there's a certain inner peace and just inner rest that we have around that. And I think that that's a great sort of guidepost for people to just tap into is that, do you feel a sense of peace around this, or are you looking to sort of prove, well, this is true, this is true, this is true? And that's a really excellent it's a really excellent indicator. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure. Yeah. And it's all expressed in the book under you know, in the chapter, I think it's 6, about the ego, which is that the work that it has to do, if it's working hard, then there's a lot of thoughts that or beliefs that aren't necessarily fully adopted as true, that the ego is really trying to get confirmation of. And if the ego doesn't have to work hard, then you're at peace, because what you believe to be true is in harmony with your world.
And it actually reminds me from a, a biblical perspective. One of the things that it talks about is that, you know, God says that when he's working, that's why we're supposed to rest, so that he can sort of manifest and get things to work in our lives. Whereas if we're the ones who are working, there's not room for God, the divine, to sort of do anything in our lives. And it's in such perfect agreement with what you're talking about, is that if our ego is so busy going out into the world and working and saying, okay, well, let's look at this and let's take a look at this, and this is true and this isn't, and this is what we believe and this is what we don't, and that person said this and it upsets me and all that sort of thing, that's not necessarily a very creative sort of space. However, when you can sink into the space of just this inner peace and inner knowing of what you're talking about, that ultimately we're all connected and we're all creators and just perfect in who we are and did the best that we could for who we were at the time and that sort of thing. Wow, that's a much nicer energy. I mean, that's like a day at the spa.
That's right. And I do want to make the point about that it is not a delusional state. It is an extremely present state, because when you love who you are, when you see that perfection, when you're really honoring that, you are afraid of nothing, so you block nothing from your awareness. Therefore, you're open to all the information in a much shorter experience of time, and to where information is missing as it relates to the pieces you need to put together for what you desire. So you really stop stretching time for yourself as it relates to your desires and start collapsing it, so it brings it into your existence quicker. Because you love yourself, because you honor yourself, because you respect yourself, there is no delusion about the situation. You're very wide open. And it's an extremely present state to be in. So it's the opposite of what some people might think about, oh, I just believe I'm beautiful and everything, you know, wonderful and everything comes to me. No, it comes to you because you're present, because you're sending out a powerful energy of who you are, and because you're open to the truth at each step along the way.
So important. I'm so glad that you made a point to share that, Howard, because I think that's an important distinction, because you're right, that there's some people who can't, oh, well, I think that's maybe some reasons, too, why people don't necessarily step into it, because they feel like maybe it's a little bit of mumbo-jumbo, that it's like, oh, right, okay, I'm just going to walk around and spout these things, and things are going to manifest.
Right, exactly, which is another, you know, shaping it as mumbo-jumbo is really kind of another way the ego is trying to avoid it. So it's, you know, it's all perfect for whoever's, it's just amazing how the symmetry of it.
Well, Howard, you just always bring such wonderful information to the program. And for anyone who is just tuning in, we're here with Howard Falco, howardfalco.com, thebookiam.com. And Howard, we have just a few minutes left. Would love to have you share anything particularly you'd like for them to look for on your website. And also just some parting words of advice maybe that you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight.
Sure. Well, of course, Susan, first of all, thank you for everything you do. You are such an amazing interviewer and so tapped in, and there's such joy in your voice and in your being, and I really appreciate who you are. So thanks again for having me. The website is thebookiam.com. The title of the book is I Am, The Power of Discovering Who You Really Are. I'm also on Facebook. I do a lot on social media, so anybody who's listening, you're more than welcome to connect with me on Facebook, either on my personal page as a friend or on the page for the book, which is under my name that has the book cover on it. So you're welcome to connect there. I'm going to be speaking at some local places here in Phoenix, and there's other dates where I'll be talking and speaking on my website. And some bigger things coming up in the future through social media that I'm going to be doing with the book. So stay tuned for that. And parting words, I'm just very grateful for everybody that's listening. And just a little nugget for you, if you're ever in a tough spot and you're ever looking for one thought that can help you get through it, this might be one of the most powerful things you can ever say to yourself as it relates to just bridging you to a place of peace and clarity, which is simply this: I can and I will, because I am.
Oh, I love that. What a perfect way to conclude the show. And thank you so much, Howard, for
my
your
pleasure.
Light and your wonderful energy and the insight that you bring that just helps people transform their lives. It's very much like a ripple in a pond, that it just empowers people to live their best lives, and they go out into the world and they share that light with others. So thank you for being our sunshine here on the show. We certainly appreciate having you with us.
And my pleasure.
Thank you to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in here on YOU Unique Life, starring you.